to be special. They could be loud moments, goofy moments, sporty moments, dorky moments. Moments where we talk or walk or just hang out. It doesn't really matter. They all count. Because every time dads like us take a moment like that to spend with our kids, well, it's pretty momentous. Sounds like somebody agrees. So let's take a moment to make a moment. Today, call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
How do you see the world?
Ha! At Shriners Hospitals for Children, we know that changing how you see things can turn them into
everyday miracles!
Like riding my bike.
Breaking boards. Ha!
Hugging my mom.
Every day, for over 90 years, Shriners Hospitals for Children has been sending love to the rescue, regardless of a family's ability to pay.
If you know a child we can help, visit ShrinersHospitalsForChildren.org.
We see stories of fear, despair, and poverty, but they can end with courage, hope, and love. With you, be a part of writing a story that's greater than poverty. Learn how.
It's 2:37 p.m. Sarah needs a bit of a break, so she stopped by her local Phillips 66 station, where she could take a rest and get her best friend Muffy a bowl of water. And while Jim came to fuel up his car, he realized he needed some fuel himself.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, we'll be here, fueling the neighborhood with performance gas and just about everything else. Phillips 66, proud to be here.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died.
Bartlesville City Council Chambers, Evan Farbach on K1, AM 1400 and FM 93.3. And welcome to tonight's Bartlesville League of Women Voters Forum. Our broadcast this evening is brought to you by Phillips 66. Tonight, we're going to hear from three candidates for Bartlesville City Council. Two of the candidates, incumbent and current Bartlesville Mayor Tom Gorman and challenger and former Councilman Jim Curd, are running for the Ward 3 seat on the City Council. The other member of the forum this evening is attorney Alan Gentius. Mr. Gentius is running for the Ward 4 seat on the council. Now, two candidates filed for that seat, Alan Gentius, who is here, and Joel Rabin. Mr. Rabin also spearheaded a vote no campaign against the recent school board bond issue. He announced the day after the bond issue passed that it appeared that Bartlesville voters were not aligned with his viewpoints. He dropped out of the race, but he is still on the ballot. That was a day after he had to have his name removed from the ballot. So Mr. Gentius here tonight so the voters will get to know him better. And once again, the two running against each other, Tom Gorman, incumbent and current mayor, and then Jim Curd, a challenger for the Ward 3 seat, also here this evening. We'll take a break from Phillips 66, come back, and we'll join the with League of Women Voters Forum in progress. You're listening to coverage of it on K1.
It's 2:37 p.m. Sarah needs a bit of a break, so she stopped by her local Phillips 66 station, where she could take a rest and get her best friend Muffy a bowl of water. And while Jim came to fuel up his car, he realized he needed some fuel himself.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, we'll be here, fueling the neighborhood with performance gas and just about everything else. Phillips 66, proud to be here.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't
The League does thank all the candidates, the local citizens here tonight, and the listening on the radio and watching on cable, the League voters of the Bartlesville area for participation tonight. In addition, of course, we thank Phillips 66, the Bartlesville City Administration for use of this broadcast room, Cable Channel 56, Radio KWON 1400 and FM 93.3 for broadcasting this meeting for citizens who could not be here tonight. To remind you, the League is a political entity, but it is totally nonpartisan. We don't support a party or a candidate. On specific issues believed to be crucial for the State League will sometimes take a position on a proposed bill or proposed law. However, we always promote citizen participation. Vote, vote, vote. in all levels of the local election, as for city council, the state elections for our own District 29's upcoming representative and the Senate race, and citizen participation in the national election, all to vote on November the 8th. The League knows the best ways voters can learn about candidates is to hear them speak about their own political plans and answer questions in a political forum. The League sponsors a forum so voters can hopefully hear and judge the information from each candidate. Tonight, we will hear the city council candidates. This Thursday, October the 13th at 7, we will host a forum with Julie Daniels and Robert Jobe, the candidates for state senator. Please remember that our nonpartisan league is not running for anything and it doesn't support any particular candidate. And we have nothing to gain or lose from providing this forum except you participating and voting. And especially this year, the league wants to remind you that to be registered, and there will be a lot of people at the polling place, so please go early. Registration will end October the 14th, so please register at the County Election Board in the courthouse. I'm Pat Netzer-Willard, and I'm a member of the Local League. I'll be the moderator tonight. I'd like to introduce the three council candidates. On my left, Mr. Alan Jensen, Mr. Jim Curd, and Mr. Tom Gorman on the right. The audience has sent up a variety of questions, and they are writing more on cards, and they come directed to sometimes one candidate and sometimes to all. And for the candidate's information, anyone directed to one candidate can be answered by all of them if you request. If you need a question repeated, just ask me. The league does request no applause. Please hold it till the end, as it takes away time from the candidate's answers. The audience questions written on the cards are screened by some local league members, Margaret Hooper and Deborah Langley, tonight, and they help arrange the questions of similar topic. They check for legibility and sometimes for polite language, but I'm sure they're all going to be polite tonight. The questions will be sent up, and I will read them aloud, and I'll read as many as there are time possible. A volunteer league member, Mr. Bill Schmidt, has cards and pencils, and he will pick up any questions after the forum begins, so just wave your hand. Our timer tonight is a Bartlesville league member, Donna K. Fenstermaker. She's sitting in the front with cards, and they will remind the people of the information. They have a 30-second card when you're almost done and a red stop sign. You'll have 3 minutes for your opening remarks, 2 minutes for answering questions, and 2 minutes for your closing statement. The starting order has been chosen by a drawing. The drawing being, I'm going to start with the person on the far left, Mr. Jensis, with an extra G. We will alternate the order of the questions, so no one has always asked the first one. So we will now begin. Mr. Jensis.
Thank you, Pat. First of all, I'd like to thank the League of Women Voters for holding this forum. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to introduce myself again to the community and to the folks listening, as well as watching on television and the folks that are here. Thank you also for the folks who are watching and who are participating in this so that you can learn a little bit about the men who are running for city council. Again, I'm Alan Jenches. I'm running for the 4th Ward. And as you've already heard, I'll remind you once again, my opponent dropped out or withdrew from the election on August 25th. However, because of the timing and the requirements under the election laws, his name will remain on the ballot. So I'm asking that you do vote. What you'll see on the ballot, so you'll not be surprised. You'll have a basically three ballots. One that'll have the national candidates, the state candidates. You'll have the questions, and then there'll be a separate ballot for voting for city council if, in fact, your ward has a race. Ward 1, 2, and 5 are not contested, and therefore you will not be receiving a ballot. However, if you live in Ward 3 or 4, you will. There's been some, I've been knocking doors and talking with folks, and one of the things folks are a little confused about is which ward they're in. Many times I'll go to the door and they'll say, oh, we're in Ward 4, and I'll say, yeah. The wards have changed somewhat because there was a reorganization of those wards. Ward 4 is everything north of Adams between 75 Highway and the western border, and then everything north of 13th Street between Cherokee and Silver Lake Road, and then a small strand that would be the east side of Shawnee that goes to Hillcrest. And that's where I live. I live at the top of the hill, so my neighbors on the other side of the street will be either voting for Tom or for Jim. And the my neighbors on my side of the street hopefully will be voting for me. The other thing that I would like to point out is that there will be early voting, which starts in November 3rd, 4th, and the 5th. And then, of course, the rest of the voting will be on November 8th. And there already are absentee ballots going out so that people will be voting really very soon. Again, I'd like to thank League for this opportunity to come and talk. I will tell you that whenever I pass out my material, which is a business card, we do give our personal phone number, which is 918-704-2246. If you have any questions that I don't answer for you tonight, or if I am fortunate enough to be elected, I'd ask that you feel free to give me a call. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gentis. Mr. Curd, your opening statement, you have 3 minutes.
Good evening, and I would also like to thank the Women's League of Voters for sponsoring this event tonight, and Alan for kind of delineating where the new wards are for us tonight. I'm Jim Curd, and I own and operate Dink's Pit Barbecue and Sterling's Grill here in Bartlesville. I've owned Dink's for 30 years and opened Sterling's Grill 24 years ago in 1992. Tonight, I'm speaking to you as a candidate for City Council Ward 3. Bartlesville is a great city, and I've been blessed with support of my family, long-term management, and partners who have built two successful businesses here in Bartlesville. The success of those businesses allowed me time to volunteer to serve in the community that's given my family so much. I've always been committed to making Bartlesville a better place, as have many others, and that's why I've chosen to run for the City Council. My approach to serving on the City Council will be to provide new leadership that encourages confidence and trust, conveys an attainable vision forward, and embraces change. I'll provide a fresh perspective, invite participation, listen, and be responsive. I'm independent, I'm open-minded, and I respect civil differences of opinion. Much of the business of the City Council can be routine, but much of it is not and requires involvement of the citizens. People should feel their council members listen to them and does not just merely brush their concerns aside. I'll work to keep the community safe and ensure the plans for our long-term water supply and water treatment needs are continuing to progress. The public needs confidence that their money is being spent efficiently and effectively, and that the quality of work done by the city and for the city is done satisfactorily. I'll work to ensure our economic development efforts are broad-based. We need to continue to focus on primary jobs, which grow our city's economic base, even as we pivot to attract retail and restaurants. In addition, we must review our strategic plans and align our priorities. These plans have been advocated for years that we provide new and reasonable strategic investments, like the Tower Green Project, down by the community center in Price Tower. Quality of living projects like these have a meaningful impact on our economy and our lives, attracting new residents and growing tourism dollars in the community. The time is now to move the community forward, acting upon these plans. And finally, we must address the deferred maintenance needs of our core city assets, like our historic downtown, our Pathfinder Parkway, and our parks. These are our strategic investments that improve our lives as well as attract new businesses and residents and have the potential to yield so much more if properly maintained and updated. We know we cannot be everything to everybody, but we can be the best community we can be with the resources we have. But it starts by engaging one another so that we can move forward together. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Curd. Mr. Gorman.
Thank you. I'm Tom Gorman. Been on the City Council for 10 years and served as mayor for 6 of those. I want to thank the League of Women Voters again for sponsoring this event and facilitating it. I'd also like to thank the local media. We have 3 different representatives here that all cover these events in great detail. We had a drought in 2002, and I served on the Chamber Board at that time. The City Council, after that drought, formed a long-term water supply committee, and I was appointed by the Chamber to serve on that committee. Getting involved in the city government at that time, I found that there were many aspects of the city that were so important to everything. They're fundamental to the operation of the businesses within the city. When the opening came on the City Council, I put my hat in to serve. I've been doing it for 10 years since that time. Over that time, we have developed a very stable operation of the city government. that stability is financial. Bartlesville has the highest, we are tied for the highest bond rating in the state of Oklahoma. Our economic development program is flourishing at this time. We have almost $100 million in projects under consideration or development at this time in the city. And this is happening in the middle of an economic downturn due to the oil depression. And it would be difficult to find a city that is having the success that Bartlesville is having at this time in the Midwest within this region. I think everyone recalls in 2007, there was a large push for a large parks development plan in Bartlesville that the voters decided they did not want a tax increase to implement that parks plan. Since that time, the city council has taken key projects out of that plan and implemented them through the CIP, capital improvements tax, and the general obligation bond tax. We've invested millions in downtown. The TIF districts have also invested, and the beauty of what has happened downtown is there's been nearly $20 million of private investment and another $15 million coming in the next year for downtown. We've weathered two economic downturns, the financial crisis and the oil price depression. During that time, we've been blessed with the ability to maintain our police and fire structures and the forces to the nature or to the extent that the citizens of Bartlesville want that to continue. You didn't have to red flag me.
Thank you, Mr. Gorman. All right, now we're going to go to the audience questions. The league rotates the questions and who starts so that everybody, the same person doesn't always have the first question. So since Mr. Jensen started, the first up will be Mr. Curd. Okay, the audience, continue writing questions. If you wish, just raise your hand and Mr. Schmidt will pick them up. All right, you have 2 minutes to answer the questions. We have two cards related to the water quality, water issues. So water. Bartlesville is expected to spend $100 million for water projects in the next 10 years. What additional projects would you like to support? And have you a plan to fund it? And then the other question is, how can we live with our present water supply? So, Mr. Curd, water.
The other evening, we were entertained by Mr. Terry Lawrenson, who gave a very detailed speech on the status of our water treatment facilities and on our long-term water supply. So we have a very adept city staff that is working every day to make sure that the long-term needs are met, whether they be through a pipeline or whatever can be done to make sure that that water supply is met. I know that Terry works on that a great deal. I know Tom and Julie Daniels have been worked very diligently on legislation to help price the water appropriately so that we can get it to users here in Bartlesville at a reasonable rate. I also know that there's new technologies coming available for water treatment that the city is looking at, besides perhaps building a new water treatment plant. I know they're looking at other technologies called water reuse and some other variable technologies like that. So I'll continue to monitor the progress of those as we go forward. And I feel confident that the staff of the city will make sure that when the time is appropriate, we can move those forward. I do know that the water treatment plant is being funded with our wastewater bill right now for the long term, that we're going to meet that payment. How we come up with the $70 million for the pipeline is still a great concern for the city.
Thank you, Mr. Curd. Mr. Gorman, water.
Thank you. I'm going to address funding first. In the past, the city has always looked to the capital improvements tax and the general obligation bond to upgrade the water and wastewater systems in our community. Over the last 10 to 15 years, we have supported and shifted that to where the ratepayers actually pay for the maintenance of the system. That would not be some of the upgrades. It would not be enough money to pay for some of the upgrades that are considered. But the point is, there is money that's in capital funds that can be used to pay for most of the cost involved with these needed improvements in the wastewater and purchasing new water storage. The original study that was done showed us in a 50-year drought year that we would be short on water by about this time, using Hula as our only source. Since then, we've implemented changes in the rate structure of the city, water to the consumers, and we've also changed for that we draw water out of the Caney River. So between those two things, we've pushed that number off at least 10 to 15 years. So we're somewhere between 2025 and 2030 before we actually have a water issue. And I think that one of the options that we've been studying for 14 years now will be utilized in increasing the water supply from Hula and from Copan. Am I out of time? Water reuse is something that could push that number the year that we run out of water, it could push that number out another 10 years. So, and also the cost of doing water reuse is about half that of buying water from the core at their current price structure. So it's a cost effective and probably going to be mandated by the state in the near future.
Thank you, Mr. Gorman. Mr. Gensis, water.
Water is the number one issue many small towns and larger towns face in our part of the country. And I think to date that the council and the city has done a good job. I think we need to continue to have a long-term plan as far as making sure that this essential resource is provided to our citizens. Some of the plans that are in place are very good. I would like to see the timeline a little further out. I wouldn't necessarily be against a combination of bonds as well as the user fees to make sure that we have water resources in the very far future. I know in Tulsa that Patty Eaton, whenever she was in place on the council, city of Tulsa, that they had an extensive water program that allowed them to continue even today. They're still using that program to make sure that they had a long-term use for water. So I think that's one of the major points that I think that your council does for you. There are continuation of what I call essential services, such as water, sewer, fire, and police, and the number one would be water. And we all have to, I think that they've worked well together up to this point, and I'll work well with the other members of the council to make sure that people of Bartlesville, when you turn your tap on, water comes out, it's good water, and that it's something that's affordable to you, that it doesn't become something that we get behind the ball on. But I think we're ahead of the ball at this point.
Thank you, Mr. Gentis. The next question is for you, Mr. Gorman. It relates to tax collection, the new sales tax. Current sales tax is 8.9%. If the state question for education passes, it will add 1%, which will make it 9.9%, a very high figure. How high shall we go? How high will the tax go to meet our needs?
This is an interesting question. People have different theories on where we should be. I think everyone would agree that teachers should be paid more. They should be paid what is a market rate for our area. I think that Oklahoma also has a funding structure that is based very heavily on sales tax. It's also based very heavily on the gross production tax on oil. Those two things go hand in hand in Oklahoma. They go up together and they go down together. And I do not think that the best funding mechanism for raising teacher salary is sales tax. Don't take that on my position as my position on teacher salaries, please. I do think that Oklahoma needs to look at more stable funding mechanisms to fund government. That includes public education, city services, everything. But the state constitution prevents us from doing that. So as the proposal is in front of us for the 1 cent sales tax, I do not think it's the best funding mechanism to fund teachers' raises, but it is the one that's on a state question, and we'll be considering it. So there's a good political ambiguous answer for you.
Thank you, Mr. Gorman. Mr. Gensis.
Well, no one likes to pay taxes. However, we all want schools and bridges and roads and the services that our both state and local government provides. And I agree with Tom that sales tax is not necessarily the best funding source. In fact, my wife and I just recently made a trip to Oregon, and there's no sales tax. However, there's a much higher property tax and a much higher income tax. So taxes are going to happen. We just have to make a decision on how we're going to do that and to make sure that what we're spending, this is your money, and when we spend money that comes through tax, that we are very careful about what we're doing and that it's needed. It's not some sort of whim or something that is not important, and that we set our priorities right. And I have a big family, have six kids. I've learned how to make sure a budget and dollar stretch. I can do that as councilman. And we'll make sure that if it isn't over 9 cents, that that money is properly spent. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Gentis. Mr. Curd.
I would certainly agree. The city is in a unique position because we rely so heavily on our sales tax to fund our general fund. And we went to great pains to recently raise our sales tax 0.4%. So adding another penny to the sales tax would be universal throughout the state of Oklahoma, so it wouldn't affect us any differently than other communities. But it is a tough political choice to make. We are losing teachers every day to other states because of the rate of pay that we have. And there is no equitable solution at this point beyond offering a 1% sales tax as a solution. So I agree with both the councilors here that it's a difficult choice to make, but we all know that to keep our education system above where we would like it to be, we need to pay our teachers more and continue to look for better ways to have them paid additionally.
Thank you, Mr. Curd. The next question first will be for Mr. Gentis. All right, this is related to budget. Given the difficulty with sales tax revenue, what items in the city budget would you be looking at that would have to be adjusted, either raised or lowered, and why? That's an easy question.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think we should look at the entire budget. That's one of the most important things I think the council does is they have to approve the budget. And I think as far as our position at this point, we're still in fairly decent shape. I know there's this problem with funding education, but that's not really something that the council can control. Overall, I think, I think our budget has been in good shape. I think the council has done a good job on that. But every year when the budget does come to us, I think we need to thoroughly understand it and see if, first of all, the priorities, and again, my priorities are those continuation and a good continuity of those essential services the city provides. And then see that when we're spending money for like economic development, which should at some point raise our sales tax revenue, those things can be very good. And I think that our staff has done a good job in being able to analyze that and tell us when that would happen and what the expectation of that can be. And I would also say that what I understand to bring more companies to the city and more Jim talks about the primary kind of employment. We want to have good quality of life, and we're really lucky here. We have a great downtown that is flourishing, not like my hometown in Missouri. I was just up there for a funeral just recently, and it's completely different than what we see here. We have good arts and entertainment. We have a well-educated population. We have good schools. So I think we've got to be careful with that, but I think that currently we're in a pretty good position now, and we will be careful when we spend your money. And I will know the budget. I've done a lot of budgets, actually bigger ones than this one, and we'll be careful with your money.
Thank you, Mr. Gentis. Mr. Curd.
Our city budget is a difficult budget to meet every year. The additional 0.4 of the sales tax was primarily spread out. The additional revenue that came from that was spread out between our Public Works Department and our Parks Department and hiring back the proper amount of police and fire, I believe two or three in each department. So The money that we garnered or got from the 410 sales tax has been leveraged against additional employees. And as is most of the problem with our general fund, if you look at it, to cut the general fund or to cut the budget, it usually typically means you've got to cut staff in some way. So over the years, I think the city has done a good job in tailoring the staff to the necessity of meeting our budget every year. We have additional funds this year that has allowed us to hire back, like I say, the additional safety personnel, parks personnel, and public works personnel. So that's been a great benefit to the city. But as we're hoping that our economic development efforts materialize and additional sales tax flows to the community, then we can continue to see those sales tax at least stay stable and have the benefit of maintaining the levels, most of the levels that we have throughout the city at this point. As a councilor, I would agree we're going to have to look at all points of the budget and make sure we're efficient and effective everywhere throughout the budget. And if there are areas that we can make changes and save money, I think that's the job of the city council to look at every day.
Thank you, Mr. Kurd. Mr. Gorman.
As you get acclimated in city government, as opposed to private business, you learn that there are many facets of the city budget that are contracted for already, long-term expenditures that are difficult to cut. Police and fire are things that people expect to have happen. Water is self-supporting through the user fees. This year, if you adjust out the 0.4 cent increase that the citizens blessed us with, we are down 2% in our sales tax. So this question, while it seems academic, may become a reality. I hope not. I'd like to also touch on why it may not become a reality. The new sales in Bartlesville from the economic development projects that are in under process right now, under development, are nearly $55 million. That would more than erase and give us additional funds over the decline that I just quoted. As for what items in the budget that I would adjust, I think we've done that well over the last 10 years. Like I said, we've weathered two economic downturns and had to look at two periods of declining budgets, totaling almost 4 years. The efficiencies are the number one thing that we can find in the city. And we did that with the parks, the swimming pools in the city where we contracted that with the Y's, YMCA. They ran that better and more efficiently than the city could. And there are numerous facets of the city that you can find efficiencies. The last thing I'd like to say is that I'm very proud of the confidence that the voters gave us in giving us the 0.4 cent sales tax increase. And it did allow us to bring the things that most people see and feel every day, which are our parks and our streets, brought those departments back up to their full staffing.
Thank you, Mr. Gorman. The next question for Mr. Kurd relates to the TIF districts. Question is, how do the many TIF districts in the city affect our school funding?
TIF districts are essential to economic development. We've seen the benefits of them in the downtown TIF districts, and certainly hopefully going to see the benefit of them in the TIF district where the new shopping center is going in today. So it's a viable part of our economy to leverage property tax, new property tax values over old property tax values to entice development in our community. So they're an essential part of what we do on a daily basis. I would understand on the property tax side that they could affect the funding of the school system. And as a city councilor new to that, that would be something that I would certainly look into better to understand the impact on the school district. As the TIF districts have come into the community, and I'm sure Mr. Gorman could probably comment on it better, I don't know, I've not heard a negative impact on the school districts, at least in the public forums and participating in the support of the school district funding and being around the city. So I would certainly approach that as becoming educated and understanding how the TIF district might affect the school district and look into that and be a part of making sure that it has a minimum impact on them.
Thank you, Mr. Kirk. Mr. Gorman, TIF districts.
Thank you. I think it's important to note that a TIF district sets a baseline. So if the school's getting $10 this year, they will still get that $10 next year, even though we imply a TIF district on a certain area. TIF districts capture the growth in the real estate taxes. They do not capture the existing. So it doesn't hurt the school district. It just does not allow the school district to receive funds off of the increased sales taxes that come in. So it's more of an opportunity cost than a real cost to the schools. There's a TIF review committee that meets. All of the taxing entities are sit on that review committee. They get to give their input into every TIF district that we have utilized, and they, you know, tell us what the impact, what they think the impact will be. I think they also know that the overall growth of Bartlesville is important. If you look at our 10-year, looking back 10 years, we've had a 10% job growth in Bartlesville and only a 2% population growth. TIF districts and incentives of this nature are used nationwide. So it became imperative that Bartlesville utilize every economic development tool it had at its disposal to make sure that we get the people that are working here to live here. I'll say it again, 10% job growth, 2% population growth. That indicates people are working here but living elsewhere. And I think the TIF districts that we have in place are showing the results that all the studies that we've had completed, we're meeting the goals of those studies to bring in new retail and new housing options that will satisfy the desires of the people who work here but live elsewhere.
Thank you, Mr. Gorman. Mr. Gentis, the TIF districts.
Yes, Mayor Gorman's right that the TIFs don't have an immediate negative effect. In fact, they are you're delaying ad valorem on the portion that is going into the investment into the TIF, and then once the investment is paid off, then actually the schools would be to the positive. They should be once the TIF is paid. They've been a very good vehicle. It's it works to bring in money from outside. Ultimately, it does help additional jobs. It can also help with other kinds of quality of life improvements. It's been a good thing. I don't really see a downside for the schools from it. I think in the future there'll be an upside from it.
Thank you, Mr. Gentis. Now, that's probably an interesting question to answer, and if you can solve this, we may solve a real big budget problem for a lot of people. Internet sales, is there any way to tax them? Mr. Gorman.
It would not help the people in Oregon. We've been, I have been a proponent of the Main Street Fairness Act for a number of years now. I have numerous friends who are in the retail business who their competition on the internet has become gone from an experiment to something that's very real, and people come and shop in their stores and then go buy on the internet. Main Street Fairness is an act that has been passed by the Oklahoma legislature. It basically tees it up for Oklahoma to be ready to tax internet sales if the federal government were to allow us to do so. I am a supporter of this. I have expressed this to our entire Oklahoma delegation in Washington, D.C., and it looks like this might actually get a vote in the House later this year. We have, they have already passed Main Street Fairness or a version of it in the Senate. I hope I have that right, House and Senate, but one body has passed it, and there were, I think, we're waiting on the House. It would be a boon to Oklahoma. It would be a boon to Bartlesville, just the way we were talking earlier about the fact that Oklahoma is largely funded by sales tax and largely funded by the gross production tax. Of course, the internet sales tax would not affect the gross production tax, but it would be, I believe, about $1 million a year increase to the Bartlesville general fund. And I don't know how many millions of dollars, tens of millions, it would be to the state level. And it's a question that I have not had thoroughly answered, but earlier we asked about the 1 cent sales tax for teachers' pay. That question would definitely be diminished if we were taxing internet sales and those funds could be used to fund higher education and teachers' pay.
Thank you, Mr. Gorman. Mr. Dentis, internet sale tax.
Well, as everybody knows, the growth of companies such as Amazon, a lot of people buy off the internet. There are, of course, there's the use tax, which has not been a very effective tax. Not all cities have a matching use. And it's really something that we can't do too much about, to be honest with you. This would be something that has to be done on the federal level. It sounds like that program, I'm not familiar with that bill, but anything that would require there be a collection of sales tax to be used for where the purchase is being made, I think that's a good idea, especially for cities such as ourselves and for the tax structure we have. Sales tax is not a perfect system. It's what we have. So if the federal government does do something on that, that'd be great. I think in the meantime, we can't necessarily depend on that. Hopefully we'll get something from the use tax, but I think it's a problem that's probably bigger than what we can do on the council.
Thank you, Mr. Dentis. Mr. Curd.
We do have, as Mr. Dentis said, a use tax in place, and some people do pay according to their purchases on the internet. As we all know, the internet is here. It's here to stay. It's part of our competition that we face every day as business people out there. And it is, as its title, it's a Fairness Act. It would create a more fair atmosphere for everybody to compete in if other businesses are charging sales tax and internet sales are not taxed. Some are and some aren't. But the internet's not going to go anywhere. So the idea that people shop on the internet for the savings of the tax is not so much as they shop on it as a matter of convenience also. So to rope in that and to reel in that sales tax would be one of the best things that could ever happen to Bartlesville. It is a significant amount of money that's spent every day online in every business in town, people buying on the internet. So it would certainly be good of all of us to support our representatives within the state and urge them continued to bring that bill forward and hope that we could pass that in the near future. That would, Tom said, that would solve a lot of problems locally, on the local level for sure, and help out a great deal for other funding measures at the state level.
Thank you, Mr. Curd.
May I make a clarification?
Yes, Mr. Gorman.
I don't want misinformation to be out there, but the use tax they're referring to is a state use tax, not a city use tax.
Right.
Thank you for the clarification. The next question is about the jail. It goes to Mr. Dentis. Do there need to be any changes in the jail agreements and why? And you may need to explain, if you can, what the jail agreements currently are.
I don't know what the jail agreements are currently.
Okay, since you're not on the council. Mr. Gorman.
You're going to flip it down here. Let me give
you. Could you give us some information, background
yes.
about the jail agreements?
So when the county, the citizens of the county voted and funded a sales tax to build the new jail, at that time the city shut down their city jail and contracted with the county to directly take anyone that would be incarcerated at the city level into the county jail. And we have, through this room, there's a closed circuit TV set up that our municipal judge can hold his court here and communicate directly with inmates at the jail, county jail. And I should also say that in conjunction with the dispatch center, which is run by cooperation of the city and the county, historically I think was mostly a city function, but it's a cooperation. It is housed at the jail. So we have a excellent partnership with Sheriff Silver, and I think, you know, from my perspective, everyone is very happy with it. I've heard no complaints. It has definitely reduced the burden on the city to run our own jail, and that is it's, you know, the county is going to run a jail. They have to. The city's jail is more of a holding cell until they go to the county jail.
Thank you, Mr. Gorman. Do Mr. Jensen or Mr. Kerr, do you have any comments about that?
No, I mean, I would certainly.
Since you agree, haven't been on the council,
I would certainly agree with Mr. Gorman that the agreement, as it sits today, has been a good agreement for the city, and I would hope that we would certainly strike a same deal as we're going forward. It's been a very beneficial deal for the city.
Thank you. But Mr. Dinsis, you get another question first, then, since we didn't know this one. Okay. As a person coming on the council, what are your hopes or plans for better dining and shopping in Bartlesville? What are the options to increase it?
Well, I think currently we have done a pretty good job on that. I think that, again, since we've just been to Portland, Oregon, and they have a coffee shop on every street and great dining, and that has, that might be something that we would want to shoot for. Of course, we're a smaller city, and there's going to be less opportunity than here. We do have good restaurants like Dink's and some of the other good restaurants. I think that the economic development downtown, and downtown is in the ward that I hope to be representing, is something that is caught on throughout the country. And the Main Street Bartlesville and that group and some of the ideas they have, I think, will also increase some of that. To go along with the, not only the fine dining and the food aspect of it, or the is also the arts and entertainment. We have a really strong arts and entertainment community here in Bartlesville, surprisingly large for a city of our size, which will bring people in, make it so that there's enough customers that would be for not just for Jim's restaurant, but for other restaurants to come in. And as the quality of life continues to get better here, again, we have kind of a unique setting, you know, the pretty hills to the west, that we have a river that goes through town, all of those kind of things. As we develop those aspects of the quality of life for town, I think that we'll see an increase. And as a natural thing, as more young people come into town, I know my kids who have their own families now seldom eat at home. There's a lot of eating out, so there'll be that kind of growth in customers, and I think that's kind of where we're going. And it just makes a good place to live when we have that sort of thing.
Thank you, Mr. Jensen. Mr. Kurd.
The restaurant business in Bartlesville, I always view as this piece of pie, and it's a very competitive business here in town. And my businesses have weathered new businesses coming, new restaurants coming into town. And the thing you experience in a small community is when you get a new restaurant to come to town, you don't necessarily lose a customer. They just don't dine as frequently. So the impact is the same, but you just, as we provide more choices and experience for people, the market's going to change. I've been asked many times if I'd like to put a restaurant in downtown. And I think one of the key elements missing downtown is that we've got to drive people downtown. We need space downtown to conduct festivals. We need things where we can have additional tourism and visitors come to town, where we can bring people to a town from outside the community and bring their money into town and spend it in our community. And that's one of the things I've worked closely with Main Street here in Bartlesville, is that we find a way to create venues in our community that will bring visitors to our community and help drive our tax dollars that way. And also at the same time increase and improve dramatically the quality of life in Bartlesville for the residents that are choosing to live here. As Tom mentioned, our statistic where we've had a 2% job growth and 10% population growth, one of the key elements in there is to make sure that we supply those quality of life elements to people, so when they see our community, they choose to live here and choose not to live in another community to our south.
Thank you, Mr. Kurd. Mr. Gorman.
I personally see our economic development programs answering these two questions about retail and restaurants in two fashions. One is to incentivize a culture of entrepreneurship in areas like the downtown, where we've had, by the statistics, 71 new businesses start down there. I don't know if they're all still there. But those are people that are sticking their neck on the line, and they are stepping out, putting their money at risk, and starting new businesses. And some of them have made it, and they are great assets to our community. The TIF districts and the BRTA and Main Street all work hard to, will work hard to continue the success there. Excuse me. The other is our economic development program, which about 5 years ago we tasked them with also developing
and recruiting retail space. And you're seeing the result of that, I should say housing and retail. You're seeing the result of that east of Lowe's. You have new retailers coming in, TJ Maxx, Ross for Less, Rack Room Shoes, Ulta Cosmetic, Petco. There will be some restaurants, Mr. Kurd, I apologize. The phase two of that project looks fairly promising. If that comes through, we're anticipating they will be recruiting an athletic retailer and a specialty grocery store for that area. We also see new development with Atwoods moving south, and there are other retailers that are looking at the land around that area. With Atwoods moving, Eastland Shopping Center is going to have some redevelopment. We have Chick-fil-A that's committed to come in there, and two other restaurant pads that are under consideration by the Wells that own that facility. So I think, in my opinion, it takes both components of this economic development program. It takes the downtown development. It takes the larger community development also. And it, you don't focus too much on any one. You make it all prosper. One thing I failed to mention is the success of the new apartments that should be being, being built out by ABB north of No Water Road. That was part of the targeted projects and anticipated to be built.
Thank you, Mr. Gorman. Okay, this may be the last question. This is dream a little dream of me. What does your future Bartlesville look like, and what challenges lie before us as a city? That's going to be a lot of things. Mr. Kurd, what do you dream about for Bartlesville?
Well, that is a wonderful question. And, you know, our community has changed a great deal in the last 10 or 15 years as our a lot of our larger employees have changed in their status here. And our community has weathered it very well. It's a great community. We've ended up with a significant retiree base that adds to our community every day. And we've got a young population that populates our town every day, so it's a great community, and we've managed to hold hold our population relatively the same in the last few years. So that's a positive for our community. But I see our community changing and needing to change in a lot of ways. I think we need to continue to look at ways to attract people to live here in this town. We try to prevent the leakage from Tulsa on the retail side, and that's what's the benefit, the true benefit of our new retail development outside by Lowe's. But we've got to continue to find ways to make this a desirable residential community for people to choose our community to live here, and for our retirees when they do retire to want to stay in this community. And I think some of our core city assets, like our downtown, historical downtown, our Pathfinder, and our parks, are things that would work to much more to their potential when they're brought up to a better standard, and people are allowed to enjoy the use of those facilities more today. Our community needs to, it can flourish with the economic base that we have here and the employers that we have here. And our city has been, done a good job in bringing that forward. But we've got to have a new beginning in some ways, with some new ideas and a quest to change, for everybody to engage with each other and work to change the community for the better.
Thank you, Mr. Kirk. Mr. Gorman, dream of the future.
Dream of the future. So, it's probably been about a year ago. I was up at the Copper restaurant at the Price Tower, and there was a couple there from Shawnee, and asked them, what are you here for, a meeting, a convention, anything of that nature? And they said, no, we're here because we like your downtown. And we come and we stay at the Price Tower, and we mess around for a day, then we go home. I guess part of my dream would be that is a statewide quest. Back that up, that, on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, whatever night they've got events going on, you can't get a parking spot downtown. You have to wait outside a restaurant to get in and eat. That it'd be that neat of an area. Couple that with the new housing that's going into the Memorial Hospital that should be redeveloped into very nice apartments for someone that's starting out a professional career. That's going to get people living downtown. I think, you also look at some of the nice housing developments for people that have children and are a little further along in life. Bartlesville has all these features. I'd like to see all of them flourish and be more successful. The way we do that is to get people to live here.
And I think we have targeted projects that are underway that will make that happen in the future. I also think that it's important that we have the recreation facilities for young children. One of the things would be like the Price Field improvements that we've done, and the next phase is coming up in the next year, and a continued expansion of assets like the Pathfinder. It's a gem, and we need to make sure that it gets expanded and well maintained.
Thank you, Mr. Gorman. Mr. Dentis.
Well, other than flying cars and jetpacks, I would like to see many of the same things that the other gentlemen have talked about. I'd like to see an area that, which I think we're on our path for this, that folks from other parts of the state and the region want to come here. I see opportunities that we can do things like they do in Austin, things like they do in Portland. Walkable city, ways for transportation for people to get around who may not just always want to depend on a car. Great venues for arts and entertainment. That's what young folks want, and I think we've got to have a draw for the younger people to come here. I would like to see as a better jobs for folks, that not only with our you know, ConocoPhillips and Phillips. My wife has worked for Phillips for 26 years, and it's been a great thing for her. But I would like to see more of that. I'd like to see where people can make enough money they can live the way they want to live. Continue to have great education. I'd like to see RSU grow and to have a stronger presence for that. And just have a continuation of the kind of good place that we have already to live, to make it even better place to live, to consider to have possibly what they call complete neighborhoods, where that you can have your own grocery store in your area or other kinds of services close to you. I think those are things that people are looking for, and that's the kind of future that we can have. And actually, we can have a town any way we want it. We have the resources and the intelligence and the ability to do this, and that's what I'd like to see for Bartlesville.
Thank you, Mr. Dinsett. It's now time for the two-minute closing statements by these Bartlesville City Council candidates for Wards 3 and 4. We will begin with candidate Mr. Gorman.
I used to think that politicians gave really long speeches, and then I get involved in something like this, and we've touched on about a third of the topics that I have on this sheet of paper. For Bartlesville, I'd like to do it for one more term at a minimum. When I got on the council, we changed a lot of the financial operations of the city, the controls. It's something that hasn't been touched on here tonight. It's something that is I'm very proud of and think it needs to be mentioned. Long-term water supply is the reason that I got on the council, and I want to finish that. I want to see that through, and I want to see Bartlesville set up for the next 50 to 100 years to where we don't have a worry of running out of water in the next drought year. I had the privilege of attending the groundbreaking for a new power electric substation at the Phillips 66 Research Facility today. They are investing tens of millions of dollars in electricity out there. It is understood that the city of Bartlesville will provide them water. It is our job. These are things that are core to our functions. If we don't do these things, if we don't do water, police, fire, sewer, then economic development, all the other things, will struggle. It will be difficult for our city. We've got a good plan. I would like to help implement it into the future. The infrastructure of our city, which means many things, is key. We have to maintain that infrastructure in a fashion that in space between the Price Tower and the community center. This is one I support, one that I think that we can tout as a city as something that is worthy of our pride going forward. I'd like to continue the success. I ask for your vote on November 8th.
Thank you, Mr. Gorman. Mr. Dentis.
Thank you again to the League of Women Voters for holding this forum and for all you folks who are listening to us. You know, sometimes we're not real happy about government, but I can tell you that city government is kind of a different kind of animal. Many times you know the people who are involved. And it also has such a direct impact on your life. If you didn't have, when you turned that tap on, if the water didn't work, or when you flush the toilet, it doesn't work, or the police don't show up, or the fires don't show up, you know that you're going to call one of these fellows and say, hey, why didn't that happen? And really, city government probably has more impact on you than state and federal government, because every day we're doing something, the city is doing something that affects your life. And I think it'd be an honor to be on this council, to be working with the other four councilors and with the staff and with the city to continue a lot of the things that have happened, maybe dream big and have new things happen. Again, in my race, the fellow who I was running again did drop out, but that vote still has to happen. So that's why I'm going around and knocking on doors. You may have not been home when I knocked on your door, but I plan on to knock on every door in Ward 4. That's why I give you my personal cell number, so you can call me if you have questions, because an hour split among three guys is just not enough to probably answer every question you may come up with. Again, I just want to tell you that I think it's an honor that you would consider me to vote. If you haven't registered yet, you have until the 14th, so register to vote, and I would ask for your vote on November 8th. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gentis. Mr. Curd.
Thank you to the League of Women's Voters, Alan and Tom, for tonight. Yes, we didn't barely touch the surface of a lot of great topics that we could discuss. I enjoy a forum like this. This is what we should be doing more of, engaging the citizens and in being responsive to the needs of our citizens in certain ways. So it's great to come before you and talk about our plans. It was great to hear Terry's presentation talk about long-term water and sewer compliance, and actually even mention the fact that we're going to have a bond issue in 2017, and it has projects on it that are new projects for the city that would be enticing to look at and discuss. But forums like this are needed to educate the voters and bring them along with the process as we go forward. And I would look forward to being a part of that and be honored to be on the council so that I could be a part of listening to citizens and engaging with them of the needs and of the community as we go forward. I would also like to be a part of reviewing our strategic plans again. We've got a host of plans from our downtown master plan to our Angelou plan that have sat relatively unattended over the years. And they do contain very many good things in there dealing with strategic investments for our community, of some of which have been mentioned tonight, like the Tower Green project. So I'd like to review those as a city councilor, bring those forward, and have the public comment on those. Those are older documents. They've been dated somewhat, so they need to be updated, along with our park plan. So those are things that we could do, and I'd love to be a part of if I was elected to the city council, and would appreciate your vote November 8th.
Thank you, Mr. Curd. The League wants to thank the candidates tonight, the audience, those listening on KWON and KYFM and watching on Cable One, the helpers from the League here tonight, the city administration for supporting the forum, Phillips 66, of course. We're reminding you that local elections are the real opportunity for local citizens to have an immediate impact in the choices that your family is going to live with. The statewide, the seven local questions, which you're going to be voting on November the 8th, are vital to our state, and they are going to make a big difference in our lives. The League has put out additional voter guides that are at the library in both Dewey and Bartlesville, and the local League is putting out additional ones October the 30th. They'll be in the Examiner. Please study the questions, because they're going to affect our whole state next year. And then vote. Please vote. On Tuesday, remind your neighbors, tell your kids. Voting as a free citizen in a free country is one of our greatest privileges. Use it wisely. And I'd like to say, I wish we could send a copy of this forum to National so they could see how a forum on issues is done. Thank you very much.
So that was Pam Netzer. She is the president of the Bartlesville League of Women Voters and also was the moderator for this evening's City Council Candidate Forum. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap things up. We're live from the Bartlesville City Council Chambers. And that has been the Bartlesville City Council Candidate Forum from the Bartlesville League of Women Voters. We'll back after this. You're listening to coverage of the City Council Forum on K1, brought to you by Phillips 66.
It's 2:37 p.m. Sarah needs a bit of a break, so she stopped by her local Phillips 66 station, where she could take a rest and get her best friend Muffy a bowl of water. And while Jim came to fuel up his car, he realized he